to talk about Jesus is freedom, which is such an excellent topic for Janet to talk about, because I know, and lots of you know as well, that God has given to Janet a special anointing in the area of freedom and in organisation, by the look of it. Yes, and so when Janet comes to talk to us about Jesus being freedom, we need to listen up, because Jesus has given to Janet a special anointing, I believe, to bring freedom to people. So she's talking out of an area that God has given her something special in. So I'm really looking forward to hearing Janet speak about freedom this morning. And she needs freedom from worry at the moment, perhaps. Never mind. But anyway, this is a good morning, and I'm going to pray for Janet. And we're going to give you, Janet, our full attention. So, Father, I pray for Janet. I want to thank you for the anointing that is on her life, particularly in this area of being a bringer of freedom, of someone who can, in your strength, break chains that are holding people back. And we want to listen, because if there are areas of our lives where you want to bring to us more freedom, then we want you to speak personally to us this morning, so that the words that Janet say lodge somewhere in our spirits, and we are able to experience something more of the freedom that you have in mind for us because of what Janet is saying this morning. And so we ask for help for Janet, for help for us too, Lord. Make us people with soft and teachable hearts that have got our minds open to you, ears open to hearing what you're saying to us, especially over this time when Janet's speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I on and okay? Do I look right, Zach? Zach's been checking my headphones up and keep changing them, so trying not to touch now. Good morning. As Molly says, it's a passion that God's given me. It's this time, and there probably will be, to tell you a little bit how that came about, because that actually is part of how it happened, is, and how God gave me the freedom is the reason I'm talking about it. So, and perhaps it will help you in understanding something more about freedom. But this morning, when I was at the conference last week, I just felt God gave me a different way to start today. So just bear with me, go with me, come with me, and hopefully we'll be all right. Okay, so Jesus is freedom. Jesus is freedom. Yes. Just close your eyes a minute and just think about Jesus is freedom. And yet, I'm happy for people to shout out with, like Chris, go for it. Jesus is freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus is freedom. Jesus is freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Jesus said, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You're with me. Good. Just take that moment, because as I was thinking about this, obviously my head goes into 20 million places when the word freedom is spoken to me. Excuse me, I'm going to fall over before long. But I don't know where you're going with freedom. I don't know what that means. It might mean you're thinking about people who are in prison, or perhaps who are abused and locked into a relationship. Maybe for you it's finance. There's a freedom, a place of finance. Maybe it's work is horrible. Maybe the place you live you don't like. Maybe ... Do you know? So you just fill those in. But having filled that in, I want us to go back to a place where I'm not going to take you to how we get free of those things. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But actually, I felt when I was preparing that as I was going down the, oh, this is how you get free, that's how you get free, that's how you get free, God said, no. So I'm going on a little journey to think about freedom from another point of view. Shall we pray? Because then it will help me just to calm. Father, I thank you that you have put a passion in me to see freedom. That I hate seeing men and women, young men and women, young children, being robbed of the freedom that you have declared is for us. It just makes me so cross inside that the enemy can rob us. And I know that you are freedom. You are our freedom. So help us this morning as I go through the things you've put on my heart, that people here will pick it up and actually that will help them to step into the freedom you've given them. So give us listening ears, give me a clear mouth, the right words to say at the right times. But more than anything, Father, we want your Holy Spirit to move amongst us, to touch us, to encourage us, to help us see things, to help us take hold of things, help us remember things, Father, because we're not so good at that all the time. So we want your help this morning. So come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I wanted to start with the simple phrase of Jesus is freedom. And just think about Jesus for a moment. Because before we can get our freedom, we have to know that Jesus has his freedom. And it might seem a very straightforward statement, and perhaps obvious, and if it's very obvious, sorry, but I'm going there anyway, that Jesus is freedom. Where has he got freedom? And I came up with six thoughts of where Jesus has freedom. It's probably not, I've not got them all. You might sit there thinking, oh, there's that, and there's this, and there's that, and I think that's great, because then that you can go away and have a look at it. I'm not going to spend long on this, so the scriptures will come up, and I'd encourage you to go away and look them up. Go and read them, look them in context. Look at what it was that Jesus was about, because I can't do all that for you. I can only give you a little pointer in the right direction. Well, some directions. I don't know what the right direction. We'll see whether you think that at the end. Anyway, the first thing I felt was that he is God. We know that Jesus is God. He was God, is God, he will be God. And he started, it was there at the very beginning of time. You go back to Genesis, you can see that Father God was there. But then in John, the Gospel of John, it talks about the Word was with God before he created the world. And Jesus talks about, I'm with the Father before he shaped the world. That's John 17 there. And we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. So actually, if he was there at the beginning, he was there. As it was created, he came to earth, he will be there when the world comes to an end. So I think that is, and to me that is freedom, because he's outside all that we know and beyond all that we know. So that was my first point of freedom. Secondly, he was given all authority in heaven and on earth. It says that quite a few times in scriptures, and it said that God gave him authority. Now, if you've got authority, you have freedom to do as you please, haven't you? You know, we give people have authority, they have the right to do certain things. Well, he was given all authority, not some authority, not an area in some places, but all authority. I think that says freedom. He was without sin. There's a few places in there. I love the one that Molly actually put up the other week, 1 Peter. I'll just read that to you. I should have got it in there, but... Peter 22, it says he never sinned nor deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. And there's quite a few times when it says he was without sin. That's hard to say. And I think that is really key, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Fourthly, he knew who he was and what his assignment. And I put quite a few verses up there, because actually I could talk all day about the fact that he knew his assignment. He knew what he'd come to earth to do when he came to earth. He was very clear about that, and you can see that lots and lots of times. So I'm not going to go there, but I think that is very clear as you go through reading some of the Bible, well, through the Gospels particularly. And then it says in Romans 6 that death has no power over him. He was before the world, he will be here when the world ends. But when he came to this earth, he lived, he died, and then he rose again. And now death cannot hold him in any way or form. And I think that's freedom too. He also says that he was not of this world. Because although Jesus came and lived on this earth as a man, he wasn't restricted by being a man, because he'd been there before, he's coming after. And although he lived as a man, and it actually says that he left his divine privileges behind as he came to earth, but actually still wasn't of this world in a spiritual way. And that's perhaps a little bit more tricky to get your head around, but actually it says to me that as he was living on this earth, he was walking on this earth, yes, he was confined by humanness, but in his spirit he knew that that wasn't holding him in. Does that make some sense to you? So, but I would encourage you to do that. I'll stick them all in Ashford News next week so that you can go and read them. And if you want a copy of my notes to find all the scriptures, because there are loads of them, I'm very happy for that. So Jesus is freedom. He walks in freedom, he lives in freedom, he has freedom. But he says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. It says in Ephesians, he was so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. And so Jesus is freedom, but then becomes our freedom. He becomes my freedom. And so I began to think about this and thinking, well, what's he freed us from? Because it's all right thinking about freedom and you get out of prison, but you need to know what your particular perhaps prison is or your place of lockup is. And I've been away for a couple of days on a conference this week, and this just helped me to put this into a succinct way, because I was going, oh, I've got this, I've got that, I've got the other, and it all felt a bit clumsy. But this is nice and neat. It talks about, he said that we are bound by our sin, by bruises or wounds, and by lies. And the sin of our own sin that locks us up, the sins of other people, there's bruises, wounds, sicknesses, our bodies can bind us up, and then there's lies. And actually, we're told that one of the purposes that Jesus came was, it said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life. And it talks about the thief is Satan or the enemy, it depends on which version you look at, but also he's called the father of lies. And that, for me, sums up a huge area of that we get tied up in and struggle in. So how do we get freed from those things? Well, as you can see from my picture, if you put the next slide on, I said I wouldn't do Tamsin, but I like this one. the cross comes into play. And over the last few weeks, if you've been around, you'll have heard Molly talking about Jesus is alive and talking about the cross and all that happened at Easter. We heard Steve Wendells came and talked about Jesus taking us from darkness into light, because Jesus is light, and there's actually a sense of freedom there. Matt was talking about Jesus being the Lamb and the Lord, and he talked a lot about this as well. So I'm not going to go over masses of it, but there was just some bits of this that I just went, we need to get hold of this, because we need to know what we're being freed from and how that happens. And so I'm going to Isaiah 53, which is a chapter in the Bible that talks about Jesus before he ever arrived. It was what we called a prophetic description of something that's going to happen in the future. And now as we look back, we can see that that was Jesus. And if you haven't read that, Isaiah 53 as a chapter is a good one to read, and I'm not going to read it all today because there isn't time, but I'm going to read just a few verses of it. And it said that yet it was our weaknesses he carried. I was talking about Jesus there. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was so beaten, sorry, he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And then I read it in the Message, and I just thought this just says it just slightly differently, just brings it home, I think. So I'm going to read it in the Message, and I think we've got it on there, haven't we? But the fact is, it was our pains Jesus carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself and that God was punishing him for our own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The thought of Jesus there taking the punishment that was rightly ours upon himself so that we didn't have to take that punishment. And it says in Romans that the wages of sin is death, and actually by rights we should all die. Now that actually doesn't mean that we're physically going to die. It means we're talking about spiritual death. It talks about when the end of life comes, we as people who we are as spirit and soul inside us will actually just go. But here he's saying that actually we're not going to have that. We're going to have our sins healed. Jesus is gone for our punishment. And we have that place to become free of our sins, which is a fantastic thing. Max Lucado puts it brilliantly for me. So I'll read that to you. When we come to Christ, God not only forgives us, but he also adopts us. Through a dramatic series of events, we go from condemned orphans with no hope to adopted children with no fear. And here is how it happens. You come before the judgment seat of God, full of rebellion and mistakes. Because of his justice, he cannot dismiss your sin. But because of his love, he cannot dismiss you. So in an act that stunned the heavens, he punished himself on the cross for your sins. God's justice and love are equally honoured. And you, God's creation, are forgiven. Do you want me to read that again? Because sometimes it's hard to take it in first time, isn't it? When we come to Christ, God not only forgives us, he also adopts us. Through a dramatic series of events, we go from condemned orphans with no hope to adopted children with no fear. This is how it happens. You come before the judgment seat of God, full of rebellion and mistakes. And because of his justice, he cannot dismiss your sin. But because of his love, he cannot dismiss you. So in an act that stunned the heavens, he punished himself on the cross for your sins. And God's justice and love are equally honoured. And you, God's creation, are forgiven. It's a done deal. Jesus went to the cross. He took your sin, my sin, your mistakes, the misunderstandings, the things, everything that you look on, that we look on, that God looks on, that is just not up to his standard. And he went, right, I'll take them. And they go. Do you know, there's a little verse in the Bible, and this is really for Carl, but he's not here. So Carl, when you listen to this, this is especially for you. It says in one of the Psalms that he takes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And I went, well, actually, how far is the east from the west? I don't know if you've ever thought, but I was thinking. So I went and Googled it, because that's what you do nowadays, isn't it? You Google it. And it said that, well, basically it says you can't put a distance on it. And Simon very cleverly pointed out to me East and West are direction. They're not a place. But if you think about it, if I go west, that's west, isn't it? If I go west, I'll never come to east because I'm always going west. And if I go to east, I'll never come to west because I'm going east. And the two points can't meet because wherever you are, you can go one way or the other. But just to prove the point, if you go north, there comes a point on Earth when, having gone so far north, you start going south. And equally, if you go south, there's a point at which you start coming north. Isn't the same with east and west. So when God says he takes our sins that far away, he means he's taking them away. And I just think that needs a woo-hoo! Sorry for that on the tape. Don't you think? Would you like to join me in a... You can do it with me if you like. I've lost my page now. I know I'm slightly batty, but I just think, let's get excited. Let's think, because we can easily take for granted what God has done. But actually, if he's willing to take all our sins, all our mistakes, and take them that far away, I ask myself, and perhaps you could ask yourself, why do I hold on to them? Why do I hang on? Because actually some of our freedom is our responsibility. I'll leave that one with you. So he freed us from sin, and actually he freed us from the hurts and the pain and the lies. They all went to the cross. So what did he free us for? He's freed us from. He's taken our sins so far away that we are now clean. What's he freed us for? Excuse me. I'm very dry this morning. Just leave it on there for the moment, Tamsin, because I don't know which order I'm going to go in. if I have my slides there, I could actually see, couldn't I? This is where I'm not very clever when I'm preparing to know which place I want to have what in. Firstly, and I think most importantly, he's freed us in order to be children of God. You could put that one up, Tamsin, there's one there, just children of God. Because he says, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. I'd like you to take that in, because I think, again, we slip over this really quickly. To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And how many of here have gone, I'm not good enough? That sin, that situation, that moment, that experience all stopped me from becoming part of God's family. And yet you read that, and there is nothing there that says it's about what we do other than receiving him and accepting him. That revolutionised me as a teenager. Maybe why I'm slightly batty. Or passionate, perhaps I ought to say. That's a better word for me, isn't it? Because I realised one day, I said to God one day, I don't feel part of your family. I feel rubbish. I feel out of it. I can't remember all the things I felt, because God's done something in me, so I'm not that in that place anymore. But I did. I can remember lying in bed one night, crying out to God, going, how do I feel part of it? And he took me to this verse, and somebody else suggested that it would be a good thing to do to speak that verse over myself for the next month. Well, being the slightly passionate person that I was even then, without being freed, I didn't just do it once a day for a month. I actually did it, I don't know, 20 times a day the first day, probably 20 times a day the second day. Every time I thought about it, I just was speaking those words over me. To all who believed him, actually who received him, he gave the right to become children of God, because I knew it in the NIV, so I have trouble with reciting it because I get muddled up. But actually, I'll tell you something, that by day six, after day six, I have never, ever, 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 ever doubted that I'm a child of God. And not just because I said it to myself so many times, but the revelation dropped into my head that actually, because Jesus did something for me, I can step into that place. Now, that doesn't mean to say at that moment I was perfect and without ever going to sin again. I hadn't got it all together. Didn't mean God hadn't got any more work to do on me. Just pleased to know that he is still working on me. He's still got plenty to do. Still plenty on my list of things that I go, I think you've ought to sort this out and that out as well. But at that moment, that issue has never, ever, ever been an issue. And I have doubted all sorts of other things about me, but never about a child of God. And so, if you have a problem with that, I would go with that word verse. It's great. This next one's great as well, because I think this backs up that verse. It says, God decided in advance, just take note of that, in advance, that was before you came, to adopt us, or before we came, into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I need another woo-hoo! I can't read that without going woo-hoo! Do you know what I mean? You can join me with me, because I just think, isn't it fantastic? We who are useless, awful people at times, who make mistakes and we've messed the life that we've been given, but God, he knew all that, and yet he said, I know that, but I still want you to be part of my family. And not only, oh, I'll have you, you'll do, come on, let's get you in. It said he gave him great pleasure. And I go, what, me? And I'm sure many of you go, what, me too, don't you? If you're honest. You are allowed to nod and say yes to it. I can stop there, really, because I think that is free enough to walk into God's family and be family. And again, there isn't there. The only thing we've got to do is know who Jesus Christ is and accept him, receiving him, and say we're walking with him. Now, we put all sorts of other stipulations on what makes us be a good Christian and what helps and whatever, but actually, fundamentally, that is where we're at. I read somewhere else, this is said by a guy called Dutch Sheets, that I've got some books of his that I love, and he says this: God has already accepted us through Christ's sacrifice. And this is his suggestion to us, or encouragement to us. Connect, celebrate love and acceptance, and allow the power of his purity to flow through you. So connect, celebrate his love and acceptance. I think that's a great encouragement to you. We'll perhaps come back to that if I remember it at the end. So what else have we got freedom for, or freedom to do? Well, I think that we've got free, and these are in no particular order, and if I had got an order, I'd be clever, but I wasn't. I just lobbed them down because I was just excited about lots of things. The first one I've put is, we've got the freedom to forgive other people. We've been forgiven, but actually as we're forgiven, I think that enables us to forgive other people. A friend of mine was telling me this week that actually she found, God helped her. I think she said she talked about two areas of forgiveness. One was her mum and one was her dad. She had difficulties in the family. And she said she got to the point she could forgive her mum, and that was, she'd worked towards that and she'd prayed and God had helped her to work towards that. But when she came to forgive her dad, which was much, much more difficult, she said God gave her a supernatural ability to do it. So she was able to make that choice. She was able to release forgiveness. But this is what she said. She said, when I forgave my dad, she said, I was able to experience the Father's love, God the Father's love. It unlocked something. So forgiveness is really important. And actually, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to forgive. He said, when you pray, we say to God, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. A few verses further down, he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I mean, that's massive. It's massive, isn't it? It's one thing to know we've been forgiven and we walk in forgiveness. But actually to be told by Jesus, that's not Janet saying it to you or any other big, you know, any big preacher around or big theologian who might have studied and gone, oh, well, this is what I've discerned from the Bible. This is Jesus' words saying, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Now, like my friend, it's not always easy to forgive. But when Jesus says that, there is a way. He will walk that walk with you. Might take some time, it might take some wrestling with you, what's went on. You might need some help from other people. You might need to spend time with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying he won't say that to us if it wasn't possible and wasn't for our good. So if you've got a problem with that, I encourage you to get on your knees before God and just start talking to him. Just ask him, how on earth do I do that? How on earth? How on earth? Another book I've read about written by Jerry Sitzer, who the title is God, When God Doesn't Answer Your Prayers. And fantastic book about how he dealt with a situation where God, if he felt, didn't answer his prayers. And in the middle of it, he has to come to a place of forgiveness. And it's fantastic. I'm not going to tell you the story because I'll spoil the story, the book, if you ever come to read it. But he says this, and this is from a position of huge, immense struggle of dealing with, do I forgive, don't I forgive, how do I forgive? He says it's a willingness to give up to God the right to judge that person. So, just to sort of put it in balance, we have to remember that the world around us tells us a lot about forgiveness, but it ain't all true. And actually, some of the things that we think we can't forgive because we think we can't forgive because that's about forgetting, and that's like letting the person off the hook. Well, actually, when we begin to learn about forgiveness and we release that forgiveness, like my friend, releasing forgiveness, giving that judgment back to God, enabled her to be free and to discover something. She received something as she let go. So it's not about forgetting, because as somebody else said, if somebody stabbed you in the back, you shouldn't forget that they've stabbed you in the back, because they might just do it again. So you need to remember it in order to be able to keep yourself safe, but you do have to forgive them. It's not about tolerating sin, so we don't have to put up with people abusing us or being horrible to us. There is a way forward to stand against that. And it's not about sweeping it under the carpet. It's not about saying it doesn't matter. It also doesn't mean you have to be back in good relationship with that person as soon as you've forgiven. Because actually, often when there's hurt from somebody else, trust between two people has been broken. And trust can't be rebuilt just by going, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Trust has to be built over a long time. So actually, if you take some of those things away, perhaps, you know, you need to just think about that. If you've got somebody or in a situation you haven't forgiven, go and say, am I doing some of these things? Have I got a problem with those things? Bring that to God and say, well, right, help me with that. Now, I'm touching it like just dripping and in a drip, and it's a big subject, I know. So if I've stirred things up, I'm really happy to pray with you afterwards. And, you know, life group leaders will be happy to pray. There's, you know, we'll stand with you. And I'm not expecting people to suddenly go, right, I can do it today, but if you can, great. But I think we have freedom to forgive. The next few are not so long. I'm just going to touch these. The next one I've got is freedom to love and to worship. I also think to love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. And then to love our neighbours as ourselves. Because again, I think there's something about this forgiveness that when we know something of that forgiveness and freedom, we can give it to other people. I've told you before about my being kind to buses on the road, but actually I want people to be kind to me. And there's something of this nature of God that as I'm generous on the road, I feel other people's generosity to me. Now, it might not be that people are being more generous because I'm kind to buses. I let buses in. That's what I mean. Sorry for those who haven't heard me talk about it before. I got the Holy Spirit nudged me one day to say, stop being so horrible about the buses. Because, you know, when buses want to pull out and you go, oh, now I've got to go slowly down the road. And no, I'd rather be in front of them than behind them. Anybody else like me? Well, the Holy Spirit brought me up fast about that one day. So now I'm always as generous as I can be to buses and other road users, as far as I can, can see it and have the ability to do it. So love God with all your heart, mind and strength. I don't think that takes much explaining, does it? Next one I've said is we can free to live God's way. And for me, in another verse it's brilliant, is seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. And again, there's something freeing about that, that as we seek God, we can trust him to sort the things out that we might think we need. But we're free to live. The message of that verse says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. The next one, I think, is one of the first things I thought of, actually, when I was thinking about what is freedom about and what we have freedom to do. And this one is the freedom... Oh, go back one, sorry. Freedom to enter. And that's to enter the throne room of God. It says in... Oh, I've lost it now. Ephesians, yeah, I've got that bit. I'm just looking for the... Yeah, Ephesians 3. It says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Again, there's nothing there that says, if you've read your Bible every morning this week and you prayed for 2 hours before you got up, or you were kind to somebody every day this week, you can get into the throne room of God. It says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. That to me needs another woohoo. I'll do it gently. Thank you from the back room. I like it. Another one, I don't know what number one now. And the next slide, Tamsin. I did these in the wrong order, didn't I? The next one, number five, is change. We are free to change, to be changed, to move forward. It says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Romans 12. And that's about us living for Jesus, about worship. Let's read the whole thing because I've not got it written there. Because again, this is a really helpful. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So we've got some freedom there about worship, about loving God, about living his way. It's all in there. And then it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But again, it's not about you transforming yourself. It's about letting God do it. I just think, do you get the sort of picture I'm trying to paint this morning? And the last one, I think we're free to be filled with the joy of the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. I don't think that needs much more explanation. So as I come to sort of what I felt like God was saying to me, I was going, well, how do we... how do you get hold of all of that? And I just want to tell you a little story about part of something that happened to me and how I came to speak about freedom so much, which I'll just try and tell you some of the steps along the way. In 2005, the leadership team in Ashwood invited Rex and Jenny Childerhouse into our meeting over a period of time, because we were going through some stuff that we just wanted to have some outside encouragement and help and prayer. And so they came, and they led a church in Arnold at the time. And at the end of the first meeting that we had with them, I can't remember anything about what we talked about. That's all in the history. But at the end, Rex said, I'll pray for you all. So he went round the room, prayed for us all. And when he got to me, he pointed at me and he said, you are a significant woman of God. Well, I went, yes, great. No, I didn't. I went like that. I ducked this word as he sent it. And I almost could say I physically watched the word going over my shoulder and landed on the floor. Now, I don't think I really did, but I did watch. It was like I could see the path of the arrow going over my shoulder. And as I did it, everybody else in the room, I don't know whether they gasped or laughed, but there was definitely a response because they saw it. It felt like going over my shoulder. And I went, what on earth have I done that for? That's my word. And I did pick it up. But I went home and said to God, what was that about? Why did I do that? And at the time, I don't know that I really got an explanation. I could tell you now why I think that was, but I'll perhaps tell you that at the end. So I picked it up, went home, and for the next 2 weeks, I was going, God, I want that word in my life, because you've said it to me, that's what you said. But I said, to be honest, God, I do not feel like a significant woman of God. I don't even know what a significant woman of God might look like, or how to be one if I thought I was one. So that was my first place of a point of call. And then I began to say, well, God, if you've said it, it has to be true. His word had to be true. And I trusted what Rex said. I didn't feel like he was making it up. Nobody in the room went, oh, don't, you know, just leave it there. There was a sense of everybody going, that was mine. And so I began to say to myself, well, God, if you say I am a significant woman of God, I must be a significant woman of God. And for a day or two, it was, I must be. And then as the fortnight changed, it moved from, I must be because you say it, to, you say it, so I am, to, I am a significant woman of God. And there was probably a few steps in between, but like with the first bit, you forget when you've moved on from it, because I'm now not in that place. Rex came and Jenny came back a fortnight later, and at the end of the meeting he prayed for us all again, and he came to me, and before he spoke to me I said, I am a significant woman of God. So he went, all right, okay. It was a great cheer. But then I had a real sort of learning curve of, well, what jolly does that mean? Because I didn't feel very significant. So many things in me were very insecure. But I persevered and kept saying it. A few months later, I had the opportunity to go to Malawi with a team from Ground Level, which is the group of churches that Ashwood's part of. And Simon and I agreed that that would be a great thing to do. And I did it because I was a significant woman of God. And I'd always fancied going to a third world country, but was never brave enough to do it on my own. And I just went, this is a real opportunity to go with a team, with somebody who knows what they're doing, who's been before, who I can just tuck underneath and just go and observe and don't get too much responsibility. I can just enjoy the experience. So I did that, and it was a year from when Rex said to me about being a significant woman of God that I actually went. But 2 weeks or 3 weeks before I went, Dale, who was leading the team, said to me, well, Janet, it's likely that you're going to have to preach when we go out there, if we're needing to preach, because you're the only person on the team that's did any preaching. So I went, okay, right. And I didn't do very much preaching. So I went back to Rex and said, excuse me, man, you better pray for me because I'm going because of your word to me. So please, will you pray for me? He said, no problem. He said, when your feet touch the ground in Malawi, you'll know what to preach. And so I went, okay. So I didn't go out with any notes, didn't go out with any ideas about what to preach, because I just couldn't see it. I didn't know how to process all that. So we got to Malawi. The first morning we were there, we went to see Pastor Joseph, who was the leader of the church that we were doing the mission in. And we walked into the room, and Dale said, this is Pastor Joseph, introduce us all. And I looked at this guy, and I wished I'd got a picture of, actually got a picture of him, because I've got a picture of him sitting in the desk where we met him. But I haven't put it up here. Because I walked in and just went, I can do this. That's a black Graham. And he did, not that he looked like Graham at all, but there was something about him that just, I knew I could, took under his authority and his covering in the same way that I tucked under Graham's authority and covering. And that actually, it was almost like God says, I'm here, I've got there before you. And so I preached. And not only did I preach once, but I actually preached twice, because the next day we went to see another person that Dale knew, Pastor Nell, who was a fearsome black church leader. And I mean fearsome. She sent us all into quakes, including, I think, Dale in some ways. And she said to Dale, well, can you preach on Friday? And he said, well, if you want a preacher, Janet will preach. And she looked me up and down, literally, and went, no, I want you. And I felt like about that big, if not smaller. I felt like somebody, you're not good enough. Anyway, Dale said, well, you know, Janet is a pastor. And after that moment, he still to this day calls me Pastor Jane T, because I was Pastor Janet from that moment to Pastor Nell, and then it became Pastor Jane T. And they disappeared off into a room on their own, because obviously Pastor Nell didn't think she could say, she really didn't want me in front of my face. But when he came out, he said, you're preaching, I've told Pastor Nell it's you or nobody. Well, oh dear, both pressure and sheer excitement, because Dale had never ever heard me preach, and maybe he wouldn't have been quite so confident if he had heard me preach. But that's that place of, I was becoming a significant woman of God, and I hadn't done anything really yet. The other fantastic thing was, when I sat down to write my preach, I wrote it literally in half an hour, and I preached it twice, and it was received fairly well, I think. In fact, Pastor Nell, at the end of the when I'd spoken and we prayed for a load of the women, she came up to me and she said, do you know what the title of this conference was that I'd been the first speaker of? And I said, no. And I'm killing myself now. I didn't look it up. And I said, no. And she told me the title, and my jaw dropped, and I just went, God, you are so good. Because my preach fitted right into that, to the point when I could see she was going, you are a woman of God. That I'm going, well, I only preached the same preach that I preached in the morning, I preached in the evening, because I've only got time to preach one. But my preach was freedom. Jesus is freedom. It was Good Friday, and I preached on freedom. And having preached it twice, I then came home, and I don't think I've stopped talking about freedom since. If you've managed a conversation with me without having talked about freedom, you've done really well, I think, because unless I was talking about cake or something. But it's just that sense of how God moves and works. But there was some stuff that God did, but there was some stuff I did. There were things I had to take hold of. There were things I had to step forward with. And actually, of those things about being a child of God, loving and living and entering and changing and being filled, actually, all of those things all were part of my journey and helped me to take hold of what God has said to me. And then be it, even though after I'd done Malawi, I then still have, I'm still working on, well, what is a significant woman of God? And am I a significant woman of God? And I know some of my mates tell me off when I go, am I? Because they see I am. But, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you don't always see it. And so there's still that bit in me. But I'm more secure in being a significant woman of God than I've ever been, ever, ever, ever. And the reason I think I wasn't at the very beginning was because I didn't belong. I've had a problem all my life of not belonging. And I think God's dealt with it and dealt with it and dealt with it, and I could do another preach on that. But at that moment, I think God was speaking into my belonging, not about belonging to the, to here, because I knew I was part of Ashwood, but actually it was a part of my belonging to God that almost went from being a child of simply a child of God, that I'm not belittling that at all, but actually taking me on a journey to the next place of going, actually, you're not simply here as one of 10,000, 20 million, billions or whatever, but actually God asked me to be in there specifically. So that was really, really important. So that comes to the end of what I felt God told me to share with you. So I'd just like to really pray for you, I think, because I didn't feel God was telling me to come telling you six keys to get free, which I could have done. I could have come with 10 steps to freedom. But actually, I want you to step into that place where you have that freedom if you've committed yourself to Jesus, if you've received him and accepted him. And if you haven't done that bit, today might be the day to say to Jesus, yeah, I know who you are now. I believe that. I want you. Come and live in my life. But for those who've done that, then there's a place of going, well, actually, I need to step in today into my freedom that Jesus has given to me. And actually, I think sometimes, I know, and this is my problem, I spend too much time worrying about getting free from or helping people get free from. But I really feel today God's saying, let's take the freedom we've got and let's step into the freedom he's given. Does that sound okay? Would you like to stand if you just with me, and I'll just pray something over you and bless you and release God's word into you. Father, I thank you that you are freedom. You are freedom because you are free. That Jesus, you were there before the world began. You'll be there when the world finishes. You're here with us today. You've walked on the earth. You know what it's like. But you are free. And you are free in so many places. Help us to just recognize that. So as we come into your presence, we're not coming into the presence of somebody who's bound by the same things that bind us. We're coming into the presence of the one who has purchased our freedom. And then, Father, help us to see that it was a once for all moment, even though we have to keep on coming back to you with the things that are today's issues to be freed from. But you did it, and you're not going to do it again. And you chose us. Every single person in here, you said, I'd like you in my family. There's nobody here that he said, oh, you'll do. You can come in. I didn't really want you. No, he did not say that to any single person. He says, I want you. Father, just speak that into our hearts, into our spirits, into our beings. And then, Father, I just pray that you'd release your spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord into our church, into individuals' lives, into the places and people we go to, that is about freedom. This is where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And Father, I want for us, each one, to take hold of the freedom that you have already given to us, that we do not have to work for. But then, Father, then that takes us into the places. You're going to lead us into the places and help us get freed of the things that we need to be freed from. So Father, just help us to focus, help us to see you as you are. And Father, where my words have been inadequate, where my words have muddled things or have not seemed joined up, will you do a work of bringing to the forefront the bits that are really important to each person here, and let them forget the things that have got in a mess that might not be relevant, but just rise up the things that you want to say to each person today, so we go away from here with your word in our hearts, not Janet's words. We want the Spirit in our thinking, so that we can this week be freer than we were last week, and the next week be freer than we were this week. So just help us with that, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.